every Friday night after the League of Ireland games, a place for you to come to give your opinion, to vent. And there's a little button down on the left-hand corner where you can say that you want to talk.
Catch League of Ireland Late Night, Friday nights at 10 on Twitter Spaces. Follow at Off the Ball.
Delighted to be joined by Paul Martin and James Gay Rees from Box to Box Films, of course, both producers of Formula One Drive to Survive, season four of which is to be released on Netflix on Friday, March the 11th. Thanks to both of you lads for taking the time to speak to us about this new season. And speaking of which, could either of you have imagined an end to the season as dramatic as the one which played out before our eyes in Abu Dhabi back in December 12th? Maybe start with you, Paul.
No, basically, you know, despite rumours that we wrote it, I speak for myself, you know, we just watched it with, you know, in kind of awe of what was kind of unfolding. And no, we could never have imagined it, you know, or, you know, begun to imagine it. It was such an extraordinary finish to an extraordinary season that I think it was like, you know, we're in the edit and we're trying to edit that episode and in all the, you know, in everything that went on in Abu Dhabi, you sort of, I think everyone lost sight of what a crazy race Saudi Arabia had been the week before. I think the whole end of the season was just crazy and you know, very fortunate to be making the show this year.
For sure. I mean, from your perspective, James, I guess, even in the trailer, Pierre Gasly, I think, makes the quote, "What are we going to talk about this year?" Which tongue in cheek, of course. But like, were you thinking over the course of even the first three quarters of that race in Abu Dhabi or even a little bit more, you know, Hamilton's going to win this quite easily. He's going to win the championship. Maybe a bit of an anticlimax. We're not going to get that final last battle between him and Max. What was going through your head before that final battle occurred in Abu Dhabi?
Well, you know, it'd been such a sort of like a sort of seesaw, hadn't it? Because, you know, Max had pulled away, then Hamilton has slowly reeled him in. So, you know, I think the season kind of chopped and changed so much. So I think, you know, listen, it would have been an immensely gratifying season even without that final denouement, because there'd been so much action. I mean, the two races prior to Abu Dhabi were pretty insane. And by anybody's standards. So, no, I think, listen, that was just the kind of like, that was the kind of like the madness that tipped over the line, you know, and, you know, listen, great, great drama for everybody concerned, I suppose, unless you're a Mercedes team member. But a challenge for us to kind of basically deal with, because we had very little time to edit those episodes, but we knew that there'd be mass scrutiny on those episodes. So, you know, very, very, very happy with the way those last two episodes have turned out, because they're like rocket fuel.
Of course. And like, I guess this question for either of you, like in terms of cinematography, when you think about those last few laps and look, the television pictures, of course, were excellent that we all saw live. But is it tough to get that point of difference when you're then trying to show everyone the same images that they saw on television, the same battle they saw on television, but, you know, give it a kind of almost like an aerial dogfight kind of vibe? I think Lewis Hamilton used the phrase constant warfare in the trailer for this season as well. So can it be tough to get that point of difference in cinematography between what we see on the television and then what we see in Drive to Survive?
I think it's like, we're lucky that, you know, as well as the stuff that we shoot over a race weekend, we have access to, you know, the numerous cameras that Formula One have at an event. And obviously, you know, the broadcast is, you know, a pretty constant kind of pattern of cameras and camera shots, but they do film those races from, you know, every conceivable angle. And so even from day one on Drive to Survive, it was, you know, I think one of those points of difference is that we were able to dive into that footage and edit the races in a completely different way from broadcast, which then gives you, you know, which we can do it in a much more dramatic style than they could possibly do on the broadcast.
Like, we've even heard for next year there'll be these the FIA discussions, I guess, with the team principals. Michael Massey, I know, has been stepped aside or moved aside or whatever you might call it. But these discussions that we hear on television between the team principals and the FIA will no longer be there. Does that affect you guys? I presume you'll still have access anyway, given that the series is released after the fact.
Yeah, we'll just have to see, you know. Season 5 hasn't been confirmed yet, but I think also just the kind of the fallout from the whole affair, I think, is still slightly ongoing. So we'll just have to see how the dust settles and see what we've got to, what's at our disposal to use next year, if we do next year. But I think that one thing you can guarantee is that there'll be more than enough content to use. And, you know, obviously we'll film our own stuff if it happens.
Absolutely. Like, I often think about the the element of luck and I guess the number of dramatic incidents that seem to happen in number of seasons. Like we had the crazy episode, I think it was the penultimate episode of season 3, Man on Fire, when we saw the Romain Grosjean crash. And you know, I think that highlights how dramatic a sport it is when you see how many incidents there is to cover from this season alone. Like this is probably your most action-packed season of the series, it's fair to say.
I think it was different. I think that, you know, that Drive to Survive had never necessarily been about the championship battle because there hadn't really necessarily been one for kind of 4 years. And I think this year, because it was such a compelling, you know, fight between Max and Lewis, you know, the temptation actually was to, you know, or, you know, the challenge with that was, you know, that you were always drawn to that. You know, every time we talked about, okay, well, oh, well, let's, you know, should we go back to Mercedes and Red Bull, or should we, you know, so we had to kind of keep very true to the spirit of Drive to Survive, which is not necessarily about the winners of kind of every race and the winners of the championship. It's about other storytelling. It's about, you know, what's going on with Haas, what's going on with, you know, Alpine, what's going on with, you know, what's happening with, you know, Yuki and those guys. So, you know, it was a unique season, you know, because of that. And because we had, you know, we had something that we'd never had before, which was a genuine championship fight that went to the last lap of the last race.
Like we talk a lot here and Off the Ball about how the show has certainly increased interest in Formula One, anecdotally. Like, have you guys noticed that yourselves, even from the driver's perspective, I guess, as you mentioned there, like, you know, you cover a lot of the smaller quote unquote teams, like Haas, like Alpine, like these teams that mightn't have the money of Red Bull and Mercedes. So maybe all 20 drivers on the grid now are recognizable if they walk into a supermarket, whereas, you know, 5-10 years ago, that mightn't have been the case. So are you guys anecdotally noticing that increased interest in the sport as a result of the show?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, it's no secret that the ratings, you know, on terrestrial, you know, on Sky rather, have, you know, gone up. And I think that, you know, obviously America's has a kind of like, you know, a big interest in the sport now and is adding new Grand Prix all the time to the calendar. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's been transformative in that respect. I think the audience is getting younger from what we understand, which is obviously great because at the end of the day, all these different sports are competing for the same eyeballs, aren't they? So they're trying to get younger viewers and stay with them and grow with them. And I think that it, you know, due to the nature of the show, it has attracted a younger audience away from a traditional kind of core, maybe middle-aged male audience, you know. So that's a great thing. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're just a couple of guys trying to make a decent TV show. And, you know, the fact that people would respond to it is fantastic because we worked really hard at the show. And so to get this sense that a lot of people are watching it is obviously very gratifying because it's a visual medium and you want people to see it. But it's good for the sport, you know. If it's good for the sport, it's good for us. And if it's good for us, it's good for, do you know what I mean? It's a virtuous circle in a way. So we're just happy that it's connected with such a wide audience.
I mentioned luck there a minute ago. Like I think I'm right in saying in that Monza, you were, I guess you have to focus on a particular team for certain races. And in Monza, you happened to be with McLaren for that wonderful 1-2 from Daniel Ricciardo and Lando Norris. So is it now the case that teams want Netflix to be in with them for a race? Are you seen as a good luck charm in some ways?
I think it depends, you know, what weekend it is. You know, I've heard there's a Netflix curse. I've heard that we're a good luck charm. I've heard everything, you know. I mean, I think, you know, it's just a dramatic sport. You know, it's just a sport that's full of drama. So, you know, if you're around the teams, drama's going to happen. And I think, you know, I think that, you know, all that stuff about the curse and stuff is firmly tongue in cheek, I think. But
I know, but it was basically because when we followed Mercedes at Hockenheim, was it season 2 or 3?
Season 2,
and they had their worst race in 5 years. You know, so it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, but it's a sport with inherent drama, you know, everywhere. And that's why the show's so great to make and so great to be involved in, because it doesn't, you know, sometimes we get lucky and sometimes we kind of don't, and we can't be everywhere and we can't be with every team at every race. And, you know, touch wood, we've sort of had more luck than not. And, you know, we seem to have a good habit of being in the right place at the right time.
For sure. I mean, it's made me fall in love with Günther Steiner and Daniel Ricciardo in particular. Very finally, lads, a quick fire one. For the two of you, favourite driver, favourite team principal and favourite circuit?
Ooh. Don't know if we can go, controversial. We can go on record as saying who our favourite favourites are, because we're seeing them all later on tonight, so we'll get in trouble. But, don't know. I mean, It's a tricky one.
It's tricky.
You get in trouble regardless of.
Listen, Gunther. Everyone loves Gunther, and you know we're the same, and you know he's been, you know, to see you know him, you know, kind of step into kind of the spotlight of Formula One, a sport that he'd been in for, you know, 20 years. And, you know, by his own admission, you know, no one even looked twice at him. And, you know, I remember after the season one came out and he came up to us and said, you know, he'd been in the restaurant in Australia in Sydney. And so I was like, it's you, isn't it? It's you. And he's like, yeah, it's me. And he's like, no, you're the guy. You're the guy from that show. And he's like, yeah. He's like, never happened to him in 20 years. And so, you know, that's kind of what it's about. And so I think, you know, I think it's no secret that we do have a soft spot for Gunther because he's just been a great character for the show.
I'm a closet Charles Leclerc fan and I want to marry my daughter, so I'm going to try and make that happen. And I think we want to do more with him next year, if we do next year. So, yeah, more Charles Leclerc, please.
Yeah. And I think my favourite circuit is Sao Paulo, but that's more for the nights out than the actual racing.
It's a good enough reason. I can understand that. Listen, lads, been great with your time. Paul Martin, James Gay Rees, producers of Formula One Drive to Survive. Reminder for people, season 4, released on Netflix, Friday, March 11th. Lads, thanks a million for your time.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.